Embrace the contributions and significance of Black people. Your contribution ensures that WPFW is not erased and that the voices of Black people throughout the diaspora continue to be platformed here. Donations can be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Peace, this is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday. Well, at least now. Who knows? That could change between now and the next Friday. But some of the things I say every week, I say to myself, is this my last week? You're right. I've had people say to me, Garland, I'm surprised you're still on some of the things you can say. And I always say this. You know what? If I don't say what I believe, I got no business on here anyway. So maybe every week is my attempt to get thrown off the air, and maybe I just haven't been successful yet. But maybe this will be the week. But at any rate, you know, you just got to say what you believe. And I just try to have it's a cathartic moment for, you know, hour for me. It's an hour where I just, whatever's there comes out, right? Sometimes things that happen during the week. So let me start with this. I'm a person that studies Zen and I flip out, but I try to be fairly stoic when it comes to emotional things. But I flew into a rage earlier today. Was it today or yesterday? I think it was today. I flew into a rage. I don't normally, you know, normally I'm not a rageful person. You know me, I'm not a person that goes over the top with anger and emotions and stuff like that. But I did, and I'll explain it to you. So the other day, there was an interview that I watched online. Somebody sent me a link and they said, you got to watch this. They said, it's Tucker Carlson. And he's got this guy who was a soldier, mercenary, whatever, fought all over the world in different places, Iraq and Afghanistan and all that stuff, you know, the whole imperialism stuff. But the guy was in Gaza with that, you know, where they're handing out food and machine gunning people who tried to get it. So he was there. His name was Tony Aguilar. And so he interviewed him and he was talking about what he saw. And it was so shocking to the conscience. You know, it was shocking to the conscience, right? And then he had pictures and he said, you know, the IDF doesn't treat these people like human beings. They don't see them as human beings. They abuse them. They shoot them. You know, did you know that like they did stuff like this? Like, let's say you're supposed to walk this way, you get the food. First of all, the machine gun people getting food, but you're supposed to walk this way and then you turn and you walk down that road, right? And it's like people were walking the wrong way. Instead of yelling, hey, you can't walk that way, you got to walk this way, they would like shoot around their feet. They would literally shoot at them to direct them what direction to go. No, you're not going over there. Brrr. And of course, every now and then, they hit a few of them, but who cares? They weren't viewed as people, right? You know, I'm looking at all these different things. I'm listening to this guy, and I'm like, you know, I really cannot believe at times what I'm hearing. But let's not forget, I'm a Black person, and I kind of know the history of the United States. And I've read, you know, I got these books. I'm in my library right now, and I've got a bunch of books over there called When I Was a Slave that, you know, my mom had. And what they were was, it was a list of books. I'll just look over and see if I see any. The When I Was a Slave books. Do I see any of them right here? Should be. Let me see. So many books. All right. I Was a Slave, True Life Stories Told by American Slaves in the 1930s. Chapter 5, The Lives of Slave Children, The Lives of Slave Men, The Lives of Slave Women, right? And I read these things. And there are people talking about it in their own words, right? Talking about it. There wasn't any stoves long slavery times, and the chimneys was made special to cook and warm by them. They built them out of rock or stick and dirt. So, I mean, they used the language. So these are When I Was a Slave booklets. And what happened is during the 1930s, these people were, you know, paid to go, and there were still slaves that were alive, and they would interview them about what life was like on the plantation as a slave. And my mom had a bunch of these books, and I read them all. So when I see what's happening and what the U.S. Empire is doing in Gaza, I ain't all that shocked. because I'm a student of history. And I study what they did in slavery, what they did during apartheid. I study what they did, what the U.S. Empire, what did during to the Native Americans. You know, back in during the apartheid days of America, when there was lynchings, the whole, listen to this. A lot of Black folks know this. The town would come around like it was a festive day. They're going to lynch a Negro. And they would have chicken and potato salad, watermelon and cake, you know, the kind of things they eat outside, yummy. They would bring in the kids, and they would have postcards that they would send to people with a picture of the Negro that they lynched hanging from the tree. Hey, just wanted you to know, we hung a Negro today. Here's a picture. Have a nice day. Hope you're having fun in Schenectady. That's the kind of stuff. So here's my point. Having a context of the history of U.S. imperialism, U.S. empire, U.S. brutality, colonial brutality, reading about the literally millions of Algerians that died at the hands of the French, and on and on and on, I'm not all that shocked when I see and hear what's happening today in Palestine. This is colonialism. This is settler colonialism. This is what it's always been. The difference is the United States tried to say, hey, we're changed now. Well, that was a long time ago. It's all different now. Oh, yeah, did we lynch some Negroes? Fair enough. Probably rape some? Of course. On and on and on. Genocide the Indians? Yeah. Hey, oh, yeah, we did all that stuff. But we're all different now. That was back then. But the U.S. empire is not different now. The colonial powers of Europe are not different now. They were presented with some people who didn't know their place, who were occupied, who fought back, and now they're doing what they do, what they've always done. This is a consistent pattern, my friends. This is a pattern, as they say in, you know, the legal field, in a lawsuit, you must oftentimes present a pattern of activity. This is a pattern. It's never stopped. So I'm not shocked in the aggregate. I'm not shocked in the big picture. But when you see something like that or hear the testaments of this, in the immediacy, it's shocking. It's shocking to the conscience. At least it should be. So I'm getting to the part where I flew into a rage. At any rate, and this is not it, but at any rate, so I listen to this guy and, you know, I'm like, man, this is outrageous. This is unthinkable, right? So then I watch this thing on YouTube and it's Breaking Points, which I normally don't watch. Neoliberal crap oftentimes. But this woman, Crystal Ball, and she's interviewing Elizabeth Slotkin, a Democrat from Michigan or somewhere, right? Senator, former CIA. And she's asking her questions. And it's a good thing that I wasn't in a room with her or I'd be in jail right now. You know, avoiding every question. So tell me about what's happened. Literally. Now, I don't know if you know this. There was this doctor that was interviewed. And here's what the doctor said. When he went into Gaza, the Israelis would check his baggage because he had baby formula and baby food in there. So when he went as a doctor, one of the things he dealt with was starvation of children. So he brought in baby formula and baby food so he could give it to the starving children. The Israelis took the baby formula and baby food, not allowed in. Think about this. No baby food, no baby formula on one side of the fence, not allowed to go to the other side where babies are starving. That is the deliberate starvation of babies and everybody else, of course. So they asked this Elizabeth Slotkin lady. So tell me, you know, what about that? She goes, well, we're working on some things right now to get at least the baby food formula in. But we're working on some things. Not that I'm so outraged it has to happen now. Not that's unconscionable. Not human beings that do that are committing crimes against humanity. This is Nazi level behavior. No, We're working on some things. You know, as a person in Congress would say, you know, we're working on some things to get baby formula. Oh, really? What good is it going to do to have baby formula if the baby's already dead? Oh, by the way, the mother's going to starve to death. So who's going to take care of the baby? This is the mentality of colonialism. This is the mentality of imperialism. Well, yeah, you know, and I just, you know what I thought to myself? I got back to that history of what happened, my knowledge of slavery, my knowledge of lynching, my knowledge of the genocide of all these people. And I just thought to myself, you know, I'm black. If they could get away with it today, they'd probably do it to me. In fact, I think they would. One of the things that happened recently, you probably heard about this. So this boat, whatever you want to call it, with a bunch of people that are saying, we want freedom and food for Gaza. They get in this ship, they set sail, and they're going to Gaza. Well, of course, the Israelis can't have that. They grab them off the ship, and they nab all the people. There was one black guy on there. His name was Chris Smalls. I'm sure you've heard of him. They grabbed him, choked him, and beat him. Only brother around. I guess they figured, well, he's the only black guy we got. If we had more black folks, we'd have to choke them and beat them too. But since we only got one, we'll only get the joy of beating. And I'm supposed to say, yes, I'm a proud American. Ain't that America? I'm standing for the home of the brave and the free. You know what? To be frank, that's kind of how the police treat black folks here. So why should it be any different in the U.S. colony, in the colonies of Israel? Unthinkable. I'm getting to the part where I freaked out. I'm still getting to the part where I went bananas. Okay. So I'm on Facebook today, and after watching all of this crap, and I see someone who I haven't seen for years, but I knew this person, and I thought this person was a nice person, and I knew this person's family, and I thought they were a nice family. And I see a Facebook post. Oh, I see I'm getting callers. One second. Let me finish this. I'm almost finished. And the Facebook post is about the hostages, something about praying for the hostages from October 7th. And I think to myself, tens of thousands of children dead. Starvation, intentional starvation, genocide rampant. Setting out food for women and children and men, beautiful people, to come to get the food. And when they reach for the food, machine gun them down like dogs. The most heinous crimes imaginable to humanity. And you got the nerve to put up something about the hostages in October. So what is it? Let's say it's 150. Let's say it's 250. Let's say it's 300. Let's say 350 hostages. Let's raise the number. 350 hostages. Which there isn't, but let's just say there is. Hundreds of thousands of people slaughtered and being traumatized, beaten, shot, blown up, destroyed, children's orphaned, whole families obliterated. And you putting something up about October 7th and the hostages, I flew into a rage. I must say this, I flew into a rage. And I posted something about it wasn't nice. And I referred to Israel as a bizarre Nazi cult or something like that. I did. That's what I did. That's what I referred to it as. And I blocked the person immediately. I lost it. And I don't normally lose it. I was over the top. I lost it. But I thought to myself, all right, okay, let me say this. I'm a black person. If I saw, let's just say an African country, they're black, I'm black. And I saw them, I don't know, beating, starving, murdering, slaughtering, just mercilessly genociding a bunch of white folks or anybody, other black folks for that matter. And a couple hundred of them took hostages. And they used that as an excuse to genocide an entire group of people. I cannot say that I would be like, hey, sure, the genocide in hundreds of thousands, but they're black like me. So darn it, there's 150 or 200 black folks that are hostages. Let's just ignore the hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of children that are murdered, millions of people that are starving right now. Let's ignore that. And let's only think about the people in my group, the people in my religion, in my race, in my tribe, as it were. And I thought there was something profoundly sick about that. Something, let me say this. I love to read. Let me recommend a great book. And the book is called The Sociopath Next Door. I'm going to take something from that. I love to take things from books that I've read. The Sociopath Next Door. And one of the things they talk about is a sociopath, the woman that wrote it, a sociopath, a person who has no conscience. And is that like a clinical thing where this person has no conscience, like, I don't know, depression or whatever, right? Or is it evil? Because sociopaths oftentimes will do anything. They don't care as long as they get what they want. They could care what happens to you, right? And ultimately, is it evil? Well, depends on how it manifests itself. It depends on what it does. If I kill you so I can get your sandwich, that's evil. If I mislead you a little bit so I can get a step ahead in line, it's mean, but it ain't evil. So it depends. Is it evil? Depends on the level, I would argue, of actions you're taking. But to me, the concept of saying I'm Black or I'm a Christian or whatever, and some other people of my group, my tribe, my race, my gender, whatever my group is, some people in my group have been kidnapped and there's 150 of them, whatever. And I'm going to ignore everything that happened before. October 6th doesn't exist. We're going to start the whole world. The universe only started on October 7th, okay? We're going to do that. And I'm going to ignore the suffering of hundreds of thousands. I'm going to justify the suffering. I'm going to justify the murder, the slaughter, machine gunning, bombing, and starvation of hundreds of thousands of people. Because my group, there's some people there who are being held hostage. As that book, The Sociopath Next Door, you know, argues philosophically, can I consider that evil? I'd have to say yes. Yes, that's evil. And it's somebody I've known and always thought, and you know what? It's people who would say to themselves, oh, I'm a good family person. I've got children. I'm this and that, blah, blah, blah. But when I look at someone who can ignore the suffering of others because they're in another group and can say, well, some of my people in my group are hostages. You know, imagine a Negro robbed somebody at the liquor store and ATM and beat him over the head. And I went over there and they're like, what do you think, Garland? That person laying on the ground beaten. And I'm like, well, how's the Black dude look? I mean, you know, is he okay? Is he safe? No, he beat this white guy up and the guy's on the street, shot him. The guy's bleeding. He's bleeding out. We got to save him. Well, let's look at the guy who did the shooting now. Let's look at the perpetrator because he's a member of my tribe. Got to stand up for my tribe. This is profoundly sick. There's some sick, sick people in this world. And it's beyond sick. It is evil. It is pure, unadulterated evil that human beings can say, I will ignore the suffering of others for the good of my tribe. Oh, my God. That's unthinkable to me. I don't care what the group is. But that's profoundly evil. And I flew into a rage because I guess I couldn't handle it. And I'm like, you know what? If I ever saw this person, who I thought was a nice person, if I ever saw this person again and they walked up and said, hi, Garland, I turned around and walked away. I couldn't look them in the face. What would I say to them? I don't know what I'd say to them. I might go bananas. I might scream at them. I might call them names. I don't know what I would do. I can't be responsible for that. I mean, I'm not going to commit violence towards another person, but I couldn't say anything to them. That would be nice, that's for sure. How do you communicate with a person when you view the essence of who they are as profoundly evil? And they think they're okay. I guess you can't. And that's where I am now on this issue. Depending on what situation you take, to me, it tells me something about people, human beings, who can look at others and look at the suffering of others in the millions, in the hundreds of thousands, and look at their little teeny old group. Hey, you know, I'm a white guy, I'm a Black guy, I'm a woman, I'm a gay, I'm a straight person, I'm whatever it is. And I got to be concerned about my group to a point where I can justify the worst, most horrible, most brutal crimes against another group. I can't justify under any circumstances. It's pretty sick, as far as I'm concerned. All right, look, plenty more to say, but let's start here. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. 1-800-273-9393. Don't forget, when you call, my main man, Kalia, is going to answer the phone. Make sure you keep the phone at your ear. Don't set the phone down. Don't set the phone down and listen to the radio or listen to the computer. Because if you do that, we have a 10-second delay. And when I say next caller, you won't hear me for 10 seconds unless you have the phone to your ear. 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good afternoon, Garland. This is Rick calling from Germany, brother.
What's happening, Rick? Always a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty bad today, man. My teeth are pretty rotten. Intestinal parasites are coming up into the mouth and the nostrils, the nasal passages. It's been 22 years living with this worm, man, but that's life, right?
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that, brother, and I, you know, hope you can seek some kind of medical treatment, something that can make you better.
I would ask you, what hope is there that the UN and The Hague will cause Israel to cease this military campaign in Gaza?
I don't think any, because the UN is really captured by the West. The Hague, you know what the people in Africa call it? They call it the white man's court. That's what the Africans call the Hague, because the International Criminal Court will go after black folks or anybody who the U.S. or the Europeans don't like. The International Criminal Courts will go after them and they will, you know, lock them up and everything else. But if it's anybody that's aligned with the West, with the U.S. Empire, with the British Empire, whatever, they ain't touching them. I mean, if you are not going after Netanyahu by now, what else is there left to do? If you're not going after that cabal of criminals, what can any human being do now at this point that they shouldn't be at The Hague? You know, so I'm with you 100%, Rick.
They've stopped the bombing, yes?
I would like to believe so, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. I haven't heard that.
Okay.
But I don't know. Because here's the thing. Whenever they say they stopped, they keep doing it. You know what I mean? They'll be like, okay, we're going to reach a ceasefire. But they never abide by the ceasefire. And then they go bomb. Or they say ceasefire in Gaza. And then they go attack and kill people in the West Bank.
Brother man, I'm done. Have a good evening.
Thank you. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, Brother Garland. Hey, my name is JT. I'm calling from Harlem, New York City. I'm of a time when I grew up, when there was a fight. You may not have liked, your friend had a fight. And your friend had a fight with somebody you didn't like. And then your friend was beating that guy. And that guy could no longer respond. And your friend was getting ready to stomp him. You would stop him. Somebody mm-hmm. would say, hey, all right, that's enough. Mm-hmm. I am surprised that Israel has had such a short memory of their Holocaust that they would do what they are doing. And then again, you know, like you said about white settler colonialism, I'm not surprised. And no. That seems to be the way it is these days, because if you look at it during World War II, France was getting stomped by Germany. But they did not give up their possessions in the Caribbean. Am I right or wrong?
You are correct.
And also the Dutch got stomped by the Germans. They did not give up their possessions in the Caribbean. So this is what we are dealing with today, this type of mentality. And I want our folks to know out there, one out of every 10 people on the planet Earth is white. One out of 10. The rest are people of color. And if you look at what's happening in the world today, it's for people of color that are being persecuted and, you know, just given a bad hand.
Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call. All right. Okay. We got more callers? 202-588-0893. You got open lines. Next caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air.
Am I? Oh, good. Great. I love your program. I think you're right on exactly what needs to be talked about right now. Thank you very much. But I do have a question.
Sure.
You mentioned a book, The Sociopath Next Door.
Yes.
I'm very much into books. Mm-hmm. The rest of the culture is so strange. I take my respite in books, and I'm curious.
Same here. I'm right here with you. But go ahead.
Yeah. Is this book fairly recent, or is it really old?
I think I read it about 10 years ago. There we go. The Sociopath Next Door. I just brought it up.
Can you give me the name of the author? That's the real question.
I remember that. Martha Stout. Stout. The Sociopath is available on Amazon and all kinds of places. Yes.
Okay. Well, Barnes & Noble.
It was a great
book. I go in person. Anyway, wonderful. I'm looking forward to reading it, and I love your program, and I'll leave you alone now. Thank you very much for everything you do.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. 202-588-0893. Let me say one other thing, too. And this just popped in my mind. Before I go to the next call, I'll make this quick. Something popped into my mind. And people might like it or not. It's just, you know me, I just say what comes to mind. The issue of reparations. There's a lot of people working on reparations. If somebody came to me and said, Garland, we're working on reparations, you know what I'd say? Forget it. I'd say, forget it. What are you doing? You're wasting your time. Let me explain. If you ever saw Jurassic Park, right? Most of us saw the original Jurassic Park. I love the Jurassic Park movies, right? You know, I love those kind of movies. I'm an old-fashioned guy. Predator, Jurassic Park, people are getting eaten by dinosaurs. Aliens are blowing people up. Love those kind of movies, sci-fi and stuff, right? In the first Jurassic Park, the people were in their Jeeps, and there was a big Tyrannosaurus Rex, and then they were right beside where the Tyrannosaurus Rex was supposed to be, and everything shut down, and they had these electric fences that shut down. So the Tyrannosaurus Rex comes walking through, and he's, you know, roaring, rah! And he's biting people and biting guys in half and swallowing. He's just doing what a Tyrannosaurus Rex you would expect him to do, right? He's huge. He's turning cars over. He's tearing things up. He is being a Tyrannosaurus Rex at the highest level. And I'm like, all right, I'm loving this movie. Let's see how many people get eaten in this scene, right? Now, let me get back to reparations. And why I said you're wasting, forget it, drop it. You're wasting your time. Do something else. Let me explain. Can you imagine, for instance, there's a car in front of me and the Tyrannosaurus Rex, just like in the movie, he turns the car over, he bites at the people, he chews at them, he tries to stomp on them. Somehow they slither away and he turns around and Kalia and me are sitting in the car, the next Jeep, and he looks at us with that gleam in his eye to the Tyrannosaurus Rex that says, I'm eating these two Negroes immediately, if not sooner. They're mine. I'm eating them. And I look at Kalia and say, Kalia, I think we should try to reason with this Tyrannosaurus Rex. I'm going to get out of the car and walk over and talk to him. I got a plan. I'm going to work. I think we can work things out in a way that's amenable for everybody. He'll be happy. I'll be happy. What do you think? And Kalia would say, that's a good idea. You go talk to him. I'll be running the other way. Because while he's eating you, that will give me time to get away. You're talking to a Tyrannosaurus Rex. He's not going to be a reasonable guy. You're not going to be able to work out a deal with him. He eats people. That's what he does. Let me get back to reparations. The U.S. Empire is committing a genocide. They're murdering. They're slaughtering. War all over the world. They will do nothing for you. Money to Israel. Oh, we need more bombs. They're sending more bombs to drop on unarmed civilians as they starve them. Literally, the U.S. Empire is putting out food as bait for starving people and machine gunning them down. Do you really think that you can talk to these people about justice for people who were mistreated in the empire? Do you really think you have as good a chance to get a deal with the U.S. Empire. Hey, you guys, I know you're busy starving people, starting wars, threatening nuclear war here and there. Certainly, you're machine gunning down innocent civilians and starving babies. But I was wondering if we could have a talk about justice for Black folks. Forget it. Well, you're wasting your breath. As long as this system is like it is, yes. Should you get reparations? Absolutely. Do you have a good legal argument? Positively, you have a good legal. Should you be heard? We should all be heard. But you have a better chance of working out a deal with that Tyrannosaurus Rex not to be eaten than you do getting the U.S. Empire to pay reparations or do anything justice. You know why? Because the Tyrannosaurus Rex at least has a brain. That's the difference. He's not a direct of pure evil. He's eating because he's hungry. He's got a brain. Perhaps maybe you could work out with him. Not a good chance, but you got a better chance than you do getting a deal with Benjamin Netanyahu and the people who are financing and supporting him in the U.S. Congress and the U.S. Empire. Better deal. If I got to take my chances, I got a better chance of survival with the Velociraptor. Put me in a cage with a Velociraptor and two Tyrannosaurus Rexes, and I got a better chance of survival than the than a Palestinian does with the IDF. You know why? Because I watch those movies. Every now and then, somebody gets away. In all of, they bite at them, they run, they jump in the water. Every now and then, somebody escapes the dinosaurs. Nobody is getting away. Nobody's escaping from these monsters of the IDF and the U.S. Empire because they got no mercy. Nobody's getting away. You're going to get starved to death, machine gun, or shot. That's my little, you know, I got to be preach on my soapbox. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This
Next caller, you are on the air.
This is Miss Jones, and I'm calling from College Park. I want you to know that in May 2025, Angela Alsobrook meets with the National Council of Churches, puts it in her newsletter. Oh, anybody who knows me knows about my faith, but yet will not sign on to Bernie Sanders' bill right now to stop sending these bombs to Israel. Finally, Chris Van Hollen has signed on. She sends me, as one of her constituents, a letter. Well, I stand for Israel. Nobody is paying attention to the Bible because Israel is going to be destroyed simply because of what they're doing now.
Well, you know what?
What's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I preach this week in and week out. I've come to the conclusion. You know, if you were a slave on a plantation and you were getting beaten by the whatever they call the white guy, and they handed the whip to one of these Black Uncle Toms, you were better off if the white guy had the whip. Because he would just whip you because let's whip the slave to get him to pick some more cotton. The Black person, the Uncle Tom, has to prove his worth. He's got to beat you twice as hard to show, to demonstrate his value. These Uncle Toms in the Congress, in the Senate, are worthless. In fact, they're worse than worthless to us. You know what they're going to say? Vote for me because I'm the first Black this. I'm the first Black female, Black male, first Black senator, Black whatever, Black. But when they get in, and as soon as the government says, we're sending $55 billion to Israel, oh, another $100 billion for Ukraine, which one of them says, well, you know, I come from a Black community and we need some things in our Black community. We need our schools. We need some help with this. And this is going, nope, none of them is going to stick their hand up and ask for one dime of that money to come back to their community. Their community's supposed to support them. Their community's supposed to vote for them. Their community's supposed to be proud of them for some reason. But when we ask them for anything, they don't even know we're there. I can't stand them. I can't stand them.
Well, all I can say, Garland, is to keep saying what you're saying, keep telling the truth, because apparently this administration is trying to blot out anybody that tells the truth about anything. And so only people who are not getting government funding will be left to tell the truth. And as you notice, they really do not show what's really going on in Israel. They're shooting the reporters, killing them. Mm-hmm. You, WPFW and Democracy Now! Are really telling the story of what's really going on in Israel. And everybody doesn't understand. Israel will be destroyed for exactly what they are doing to the Palestinians right now.
You know,
they can forget it.
You know what's interesting? I look, as you know, I can't stand both parties. I'm an independent. I'm done with them. But I look. And I see Donald Trump's numbers going down, as they should, like 30-some percent. As they should, he's a horrible president. Horrible, absolutely abysmal. The Democrats are lower than them. And I think this is why. You're trying to fool me. I know who Donald Trump is. I know
the Republicans.
Oh, we love Israel. The Democrats trying to pretend like they're going to do the right thing. Huh?
Because of Gaza. And the Republicans are doing the same thing. So, also... term limits for the Supreme Court is going to be initiated. We are now going to give them term limits since they are being oblivious to this stuff this administration is doing and giving them the power to do this and that. They're going to be term limits for the Supreme Court too. That's going to be on ballot.
You know, I would like to agree with you, but let me ask you this. Do you really believe the Democrats are going to do that? When their masters, when their corporate owners, when their donors say to them, no, 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 you know, the Supreme Court always votes on behalf of the corporation, so why don't we just lay low on this one? Do you really think the Democrats are going to wake up and say, yeah, we can't have the Supreme Court? If their masters, if their corporate owners, donors say to them, you know, we prefer that you don't do that, they ain't going to do it. I do not have any confidence that either one of these parties will do one single thing for the working class, for regular people. They will do what they're told. They could care less what we want. They don't, injustice? Sure, is it an injustice? But the level of injustices that they abide at this point has led me to believe that there is nothing. There is nothing. So if you know what, if they decided they wanted to come and start going through the black communities and machine gunning them down, you think the black senators and the black members of Congress, they wouldn't say a word. They keep taking their 30 pieces of silver.
Well, all I can say is people do not understand. You cannot go around pretending that you are a person of faith and allow the stuff to happen that is happening. It is outrageous.
It really is. Thank you very much. 202-588-0893. People are angry. People are fed up. Like I said, yeah, Donald Trump's numbers are low. The Democrats' numbers are lower. They're the lowest they've ever been since they started keeping numbers. Why? Because people who are either a Democrat or Democrat-leaning or whatever. Now, I don't have an expectation, but a lot of people who are or were Democrats had some expectation. They were like, hey, Democrats, I'm sure you'll feel bad about all of these people getting murdered and killed and slaughtered and starved. What do you think? And the Democrats was like, and we were like, hello, hello, can you hear me? Democrats was like, yeah, my corporate master said, leave this one alone. They're worthless. They're worse than worthless. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, Garland? It's Max calling again from Maryland.
Talk to me, Max.
I just really wanted to kind of follow up where we were at last week. You know, and I only bring it up again because, you know, I do tune into your YouTube shows and I watch you talk about kind of some of these things from the past too. I don't agree with you that the kind of election denial of 2016 and 2024 you claim came from the Democrats is equivalent to what Trump did in 2020.
I'm not even talking about equivalence. All I'm saying is this. You can't be an election denier and then tell somebody else you're an election denier. And soon as you lose in 2024 again in a blowout, I get people to call the show all the time. Hey, I think Trump stole it. I'm like, wait a minute. The poll said Trump was going to win. The exit polls, Trump said Trump was going to win. I don't like Trump any more than you do. But I get people call the show all the time. People that I know, friends of mine. I think Trump stole it. I'm like, this is you. Well, you know what I say? It doesn't matter. Whoever loses is going to say we were robbed. I'm guaranteed. I will bet you this. That in 2028, whoever loses will say they were robbed. Will you want to take that bet?
But I won't. But my follow up to that would simply be like just because random people say the election was robbed, that's not the same. They don't have the same moral responsibility probably as the president or people in Congress. And then I would say this, right? Like, I don't want to get in the weeds with the Russian investigation because you're very well versed on that. But I would say this, even by the end of 2016, even the FBI that was, you're right, on Trump's tail about Russia, even they concluded that the vote tallies weren't altered. So even the worst thing that could have come from that investigation, right, that went after Trump, the worst thing that would have came is that Pence would have became the president. Whereas in 2020, right, in 2020, Trump actually worked with lawyers to actually defraud the election. This is adjudicated. It's proven. You can't even – there's no – and then even, like, when you talk about the FBI and the 23, like, confidential informants, we know for a fact that Stuart Rose, leader of the Oath Keepers, was in the front. He was one of the first guys in the Capitol. We know that Dominic Pozzolo, one of the leaders of the Proud Boys, broke the glass with the riot shield. We know that Ethan Nordine and Biggs were riling up the people to go and break into the Capitol. We know that Fanoni, one of the officers that testified at the January 6th committee, who was tased in the back of his skull, later on after January 6th, Trump supporters went to his mom's house and they threw feces on her head.
Let me say this, Max. Let me say something to you, though.
Yeah.
During the 2024 election, the Democrats pushed January 6th hard and they got blown out. I think the American people ain't worried about January 6th. I think the American people are upset about other things, such as the cost of everything, the destruction of their economy, the warmongering foreign policy. And I think one of the reasons that the Democrats are in such trouble is because they're focusing on things like January 6th, and the American people are like, well, I ain't voting on that. That ain't something I'm upset. So I understand January 6th is something you're upset about, et cetera. A lot of Democrats, January 6th, this or that. Trust me when I tell you this, that's a losing strategy.
Well, so it's not my strategy. It's just that, hear me out. It's just that the more that I hear people like you talk about it on your podcast occasionally on YouTube, and I hear like Sean Stone talk about the vote tallies changing in the middle of the night, which was confirmed by Trump's own team that was going to happen. I just feel the need to like clarify reality from illogical delusion, one. And then two, I would simply say that this stain washing, whitewashing of January 6th will be the very reason that come 2028, you're right, there will be denial. But this time it's going to be because the electoral map doesn't favor Democrats. It doesn't. The map looks awful for them. And that's not me saying it's rigged. That's just me saying the facts. The map is not in their favor.
Yeah, but you got to say this.
So hear me out. When a Democrat, because I do think
Max,
a Democrat
they got
will
the
officially
lowest,
win.
But Max, they have
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that.
Approval rating since they started. I don't care what the map looks like. You ain't going to win.
I agree with you.
They're terrible too.
I don't disagree with you on that. The Democrats are in shambles. I agree with you that the party, like if I was in the room with the Democrats and I had to coach them on like issues, it would be issues outside of January 6th. I just like talking to you about this stuff.
Okay.
But you're playing into my theory. My theory is that in 2028, you're right. There will be denial, but it will be J.D. Vance, I promise you, he doesn't, because I don't like Mike Pence. Mike Pence was for the same deep, basically the same state agenda that you talk about, like with Trump and
like,
the whole party.
I don't like any
but
of them.
What I'm saying is that Vance, right? Unlike Pence, Vance is much more cutthroat. And I promise you that if Trump and the Department of Justice run the same strategy when the Democrat wins, right? Because Biden won by a slim margin in all the swing states. The Democrats in 28 will win by an even slimmer margin, but they will do the same thing. And J.D. Vance will be in Congress on January 6th with the gavel in his hand. And he will say, I'm not certifying this election. Well, I am the next president. I am the next president of the United States.
I'll say this. If the Democrats,
I promise you, it's going to happen. You're going to be like, you're going to be in awe when it happens.
Wait a minute.
It's going to happen.
Let me say something. If the Democrats have any hope of winning in 2026, they're going to have to do something real different than they're doing right now. The party would have to turn inside out, because the people who are running the party right now seem to be clueless. I mean, first of all, most of them are so old, I don't think they're going to live to get to 2028. But I'm just saying, that party's in deep and serious trouble. And it's like this. You know, if let's say a football team is losing, there's one way they can look at it. They can get mad at the other teams, or they can say, we need a new coach, we need a new players, we need to work out better, we need new plays, we need to fix ourselves. Right now, without changing dramatically the Democratic Party, I don't see how they could be competitive, because their own people, a lot of their own people who traditionally vote for them, are disgusted with them. If you're disgusting your own voters, if you're infuriating your own voters, you got to get them to the polls to win. I think they got to focus looking internally and fixing it. And right now, they ain't doing it, brother. Thanks a lot, Max. 202-588-0892. Max, I appreciate his call. He has every right to feel the way he does. But my thing is this, when I look at these two parties and the heinous acts that they're involved in and the total disregard, you know, I just saw this thing today, a bipartisan group of senators is coming together for another $55 billion for Ukraine. People can't pay their rent. People can't pay their rent. People can barely survive. People are asking, how am I going to make it? And they got another $55 billion for war? And these are both, it's a bipartisan. That means we're going to get screwed over twice. Another $55 billion. Gone. How much could 50? $1 billion. Give $1 billion to the D.C. area, to the impoverished area. $55 billion. We have 50 states. And we do 50 states. And then D.C., guess what, is a District of Columbia. Give them $1 billion. Give each state $1 billion to do something with the poor and help the poor. You think they're going to do it? Nope. Do you think anybody in a congressional black caucus is going to stick their hand up and say, hey, wait a minute, can I take some back home to my community? Not going to happen. They're all going to vote. They're going to put up a blue and yellow flag. Hooray! We got more money for Ukraine. Their donors are going to take every dime of it. And we're going to get what we always get. Nothing. All right. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. Oh, our caller's not there. Is he or she? Okay, we'll go to the next caller then. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay, it's Miss Mary from Fort Washington. Hello.
I haven't heard you from you. You started calling again, Mary. I'm glad to hear from you.
Yes, and yeah, I like hearing Max do his little bit of screaming. And he's just showing his youth. He'll learn. The only thing we can do is, because this Congress is lost, both sides are gone to me. I have called all of my senators and representatives and told them that I will not vote for them again because they stand with Israel. And I would just like to see millions of people stand together and do a national write-in. Do not vote for any of the people that are in office right now, because if they can watch this genocide go on, they're not human.
No.
I don't know where they live, where do they go, but they're not human. I don't give a darn how long they stand up and talk. If you watch what goes on in the Senate and the House, it's disgusting. Oh, my friend over there, my friend across the aisle, they're friends. I wouldn't want them as friends. So I advise people, don't vote for any of them. Write in. There are a lot of progressive people out here that can run for office and want to. And that's who I will be looking for. But I call Angela, Ms. Brooke Hazelbrook. I said, I cannot vote for you anymore. You stand for Israel. That disgusts me. And, you know, just to watch CNN decided to show the killing that's been going on a whole year or so. 60,000 and more, and that's not a real count. And the women and children blown to pieces. And we are allowing that? That's disgusting. So I'm just going to do a write-in. I can't stand any of these people. And Nancy Pelosi, oh, my God. I trust
her. Hey, let me read this. New York, from New York Democrat Representative Gregory Meeks. We've got to work with Israel to make sure that we wipe out Hamas so that we don't have a vicious attack like this ever again.
Why do they think that we still believe that?
Yep.
I just don't understand it. But anyway, like I said, we got to do a write-in campaign, because if you vote for any of these people, it's going to get worse. you're going to get another orange monkey in office that we have now. And I don't believe that he's going to be in office no 4 years. No. You got to tell me that this Congress, sooner or later, has going to have no choice but to remove him via the 25th Amendment. And we, the people, should be able to demand that. Why can't we?
Let me read, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. I got to read something to you. Israel.
Other than that, I'm ready to win a baseball bat.
Listen to this. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with 10 members of the Congressional Black Caucus as he tries to improve his...
The Black Caucus has no credibility with me for years. All they do is party and take money from the corporations and then grin in our faces. No, they're lost cause. And so does the NAACP. Lost cause anymore. We don't have those kind of people in office anymore. I can't tell you what I think they are.
Yeah, it is.
But they all should have keys to the cabin.
Let me say this, Mary. Before you go, let me say this. You know, Trump. Let me ask you this. Okay, so we get rid of Trump. You think things are going to get better? We had Biden. The Democrats were in.
No, we can't have any of the same
people. What did Biden do? Biden did J.D. Vance. Who is it?
That's why I said write-in campaign.
It's the
write-in who you think should be good. I'm going to write your name in, Garland.
Yeah, how about that? You know what you could do? You could get rid of Trump and pick your Democrat and put him in. And as soon as they got in, you'd say, what do you think about that? And they'd say, I stand with Israel. Pick a Democrat.
No, we can't have those kind of people. I'm not talking about picking a Democrat. I'm talking about finding a progressive person.
Yeah, I'm with
a People's Party. We need to get the Green Party fired up or either start a third party. But I'm doing write-ins. I can't take it anymore. But thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. So do we have any more callers? All right. We're going to do one more call. One more call. And then we got some house music. Oh, no more. That's it. Do we have another caller? No. Next caller. Oh, no. Okay, good. All right. That's fine. We don't have another caller. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm getting ready to, on the way out. I love my house music. We got to play some house music. But let me just say this. Like I said, you know, I freak out. I go bananas. But I think it represents how a lot of people feel. People are angry. People are outraged. And this empire is falling apart. It's falling apart. And as evil as it is, it really should fall apart. It is bearing its evil fangs, and people can see it for what it is. Kind of like when you watch a vampire movie, and just before the vampire bites somebody, they turn into like the evil demon. You're like, oh boy, that sure is a pretty woman in that bar. Oh, she met that guy. Oh, they're walking down the street. And then in the vampire movie, she suddenly turns into this evil fiend and bites him in the neck, right? Yeah, well, that's where the U.S. empire is now. It has transformed into the evil demon, and everybody can see it for what it is. And it's biting the Palestinians in the neck. And when you look at Congress from one end to the other, they are despicable beyond words. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with me, I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing fantastic work. If you want to get in touch with me, number one, you can email me. My name is Garland, G-A-R-L-A-D, and then the letter N, Garland N. @gmail.com. Email me. Follow me on, I got a YouTube show. You can also follow me on Telegram, follow me on Facebook, on Instagram, all that kind of stuff. Thanks. Email me. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, and of course, thank WPFW for giving me this platform. I'm out. Oh, by the way, you know, I love my house music. I have been collaborating with Kalia weekly for good house music. I think you'll like this one. I'm out.